Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing well, gentlemen. How are you doing this morning?
We are doing wonderful. Good. The city of Nashville, however, in a state of mourning, based on the way the last couple of days have gone, with Derrick Henry being lost for at least the foreseeable future here. Number one, your reaction to the Derrick Henry injury and what this does for the Titans. And number two, what do you think of bringing Adrian Peterson into the fold?
Well, I mean, my reaction, and this is something we've talked about on the show before, is when you talk about players that you know, removing them from a team, how dramatically it can impact the identity of a team or what they like to do offensively. I mean, Derrick Henry's right at the top of the league with Mahomes and, you know, quarterbacks. I mean, he's a quarterback loss at running back, which is rare in the NFL. I mean, it's troubling, and I think it was interesting because it was something we talked about Sunday night in the podcast before we knew the extent of the injury. It was sort of like, just don't break that guy. You know, whatever you need to do to load manage or keep him healthy over the stretch of a season, you know, try to keep it from falling into a season-ending situation. Well, obviously, this may be that. I mean, we'll see. You know, I'm not a doctor, and I've seen all the different kind of thoughts that have gone into it about, you know, whether he could be back for a postseason run or whatever. I think to me what's more important is just understanding that don't bring him back if you're not absolutely certain he's 100%. I mean, I know everyone wants to, you know, think about the playoffs and can we get him back for the play. I think about the long term with him, and if there's even a thought process of like, hey, we can get him back, but he's gonna be 90% and there's a chance of you know, turning this into something more troublesome than it is, you just got to shut him down and rock with Adrian Peterson and hope that there's something there. I don't know what to say about AD. I mean, he's, I know I live in Houston and he has a gym here, and I know he spends a lot of his time, working out constantly here in Houston. Like, I have a few friends who, kind of run in that, gym muscle circuit. They're like, oh yeah, he's working out, he's great, oh man, he looks, you know, he's, and so you always hear like, hey, he's ready to go, and I've kind of always shrugged at that. I'm like, isn't it over? Like, you know, vote him into the Hall of Fame already? Like, but apparently not, and you know, so we'll see what he's got. I don't want to question him, because to be honest with you, I kind of thought when he was in Washington, like, oh, it's done, but then when I watched him, you know, he clearly had something left in the tank. But I do think that he is a, look, he's going to be a running back that's predicated on what does the line look like, you know, what kind of opportunities can they create for him. And frankly, I'm not saying that the Titans are going to do this, but, you know, they're pretty healthy cap-wise in terms of being able to make a move at the deadline, and there are some cheap guys out there. You could probably still pick up another running back for, you know, virtually nothing in terms of peeling off a draft pick. I mean, we're talking like a sixth-round pick, seventh-round pick type of guy. And, I'm not saying that they would address it that way, but I think it might be worth at least poking around and seeing if there's another veteran out there to give you some options to rotate, a la, say, like a Baltimore Ravens, which, you know, they pick up three journeymen and they've figured out a way to rotate those guys and be successful.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that all day, too. Like, I just don't know with Adrian Peterson. That's great to know that he works out a lot. I mean,
right.
I'm surprised you're not in that muscle, you know, crowd. I'm a little bit disappointed, actually.
Gym muscles. But, nobody's afraid of the gym muscles.
but I just have my doubts, you know, that he's at this point able to be anything more than, you know, a part of a committee. And I just don't know how much more, I don't know how much the rest of the committee looks. So I feel like they really need to be burning up the phones today. And I agree with you. I don't think John Robinson is going to be interested to part with much draft capital. Do you think that there's any market out there for two players in particular? A Josh Reynolds, who is barely able to get on the field here, but it was good in LA, or a Rashawn Evans, who mysteriously went to the injury report over the weekend, which of course immediately brought trading deadline conspiracy theories to mind.
Right. Reynolds, I would say no, just because there's a glut, honestly, of receivers. Like there's a lot of guys out there right now who could be had for almost nothing. Look, even Odell Beckham at this point, I'm telling you, he doesn't even have a market. Like, and you would think that a team's like, well, hey, if we can, you know, get him for virtually nothing, like basically just pay, you know, the $8 million in salary that's due to him the rest of the season, let's go give up virtually nothing just to bring him in and pay him. There's not even any interest in that. And, you know, so it's wide receivers are probably the most popular position group at the deadline, just because it's a easily translatable position typically. We've seen it happen in the past where, you know, like the 49ers add Emmanuel Sanders and, you know, he ends up being something that, you know, helps things click into place down the line. But there's just so many of them available that I don't know. And, you know, again, in a situation like that, you'd be looking at, like, what past staff was he on or connected to, where you'd have to have a coach who's like, hey, let's go get this guy. I know what we could do with him right away. And I don't think particularly, say, the Rams, you know, I think they're set right now. Evans, I don't know. I mean, Evans, I'll be completely honest with you, I'm not sure what the interest is in him. I know, you know, the teams that I would look at where I'm like, hey, you know, like the Chiefs could really use him. I don't think that's the kind of trade that the Titans would be interested in making. But, I can't give you anything specific on Evans. The guy who's really being talked about right now, actually there's two guys I think that are being talked about right now, is you know, Kyle Fuller with the Broncos. The Broncos are, from what I understand, willing to pay the remainder of his salary this year, which is roughly about $4.8 million. And, you know, they're trying to pull sort of another Von Miller where they're like, hey, you know, we'll attach you know, we'll eat the salary. You attach a couple of decent draft picks. We'll send you some cornerback depth. And actually, Melvin Gordon is a guy I almost wondered when I was thinking about the Titans. I'm like, do you call Denver and just say, like, hey, you know, you got a young guy. You know, Gordon, you know, is probably somebody you'd be open to moving at this point, you know, if you can get something on him. I don't know what they would ask for him, but, I mean, Gordon is definitely a guy that I think if a team is out there looking for, you know, I guess kind of a running back where you feel like he can really factor and carry the load, he's somebody that I think it's sort of like Denver's open for business. So everybody call Denver if you're interested in anybody.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Looks like the Steelers are trading Melvin Ingram to the Chiefs in exchange for a sixth-round pick.
There's the linebacker. There's the linebacker that the Chiefs desperately needed. Yeah, I mean, Ingram's a guy who his snap count had diminished significantly in Pittsburgh, and he's been available now for roughly, I don't know, about 2 weeks. You know, I think people knew that he was somebody they were going to be willing to move. But yeah, I mean, that was I knew the Chiefs were looking for linebacker help. I mean, that was sort of why I brought up Evans. It's just because it's definitely a position of weakness. Now, interestingly, I mean, again, this is, I guess you can argue what is Pittsburgh really looking at moving forward, but it's interesting to see a team that wants to be in the AFC, you know, mix in the playoffs, dealing to another team that is trying desperately to get past a close win over the New York Giants. Like the only win that feels like a loss.
Yes, absolutely. So Charles, obviously Von Miller on his way to the LA Rams. What do you think of that move for the Rams in terms of what that does for the pecking order in the NFC?
I mean, there's no question it helps. I mean, he's a, you know, here's the thing about Von Miller. Like, he's had a better season this year. I went through their camp, and they were really excited about him, and you know, Vaughn's going to have this huge year, and I feel like he's definitely kind of gotten back on track. I don't, you know, we'll see what he looks like in that defense. I had a chance to text with somebody in their organization last night. They're hyped. I mean, they kind of feel like this is the move that puts them back into maybe a little bit of a hammerlock position in the NFC. From their perspective, it was clear they're sitting there going, okay, look, we're going to have to deal with Arizona and Kyler Murray. We're going to have to deal with Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. We're going to have to deal with Tom Brady in Tampa Bay. We're going to have to deal with Dak Prescott and that entire ridiculous offense in Dallas. You know, they're just looking at it being like, you got to have, if you don't have an ace corner who you can throw out and just erase somebody. And, you know, I think that's sort of what Carolina was thinking about Stephon Gilmore. Like, maybe he's still that guy. Let's see how he comes back from injury. If you don't have that guy, you've got to have somebody who's either pressuring or getting to the quarterback. And I think they also like the fact that he's got some Super Bowl experience, really good guy in the locker room, really good guy in the meeting room. And, you know, I think that's sort of what they're trying to add there. It's a big leadership add. They've been super happy with Matt Stafford from the leadership standpoint. I think that's sort of an underrated thing that they loved a lot about Matt Stafford, but I think one of the things that he brought to the table they weren't entirely, I don't want to say expecting, but they hadn't factored it as much, was once he got into the franchise, just sort of how he interacted with players on the roster, the leadership he brought to the table. I guess apparently, you know, they felt like Goff was not where they wanted him in terms of that aspect of his game beyond everything else on the field. So I think that's another thing with Von Miller where they're like, we are adding a guy who's going to give us a lot in the room and a lot down the stretch and be able to talk meaningfully to people, to players about, hey, like, this is how, what you have to do to be able to, you know, take this through the playoffs and actually finish it with a Super Bowl win.
Okay, so as things stand right now, Charles, who are your favorites in each conference?
Like, I swear you ask me this like every week.
That's right, darn it. And you're going to answer it every week, Charles.
And every week I tell you, whoever I name is going to lose. Like, you know, last week, did I say, I probably said something good about Cincinnati, right?
You did.
And then what comes out? I mean, like, Mike White. Into like this guy that's just, you know, the New York Jets suddenly come to life, and you know, man, I don't know. Let's get through the trade deadline first and see what exactly happens. Look, I'll say this about the Rams. I do like the Von Miller addition. I really do. I feel like Dallas, we'll see if anything gets done, but I feel like Dallas is poking around to see if, you know, they can make an addition. I know Green Bay is working the phones today. It's interesting because I think particularly from the NFC standpoint, you do have a lot of teams that are sitting there saying, we, you know, any one of five or six teams could easily win the NFC this year. Not easily, but, you know, it's wide open. And so maybe making this addition some depth somewhere really will help us. And I think all five or six contending teams in the NFC, not counting the Rams now at this point because they made their move, are all on the phone right now trying to figure out if there's someone they can add. So, it's hard for me to take away what Green Bay just did to Arizona. The Rams, you know, one loss. I mean, they've done pretty much everything you would ask them to do. You know, it's a tough, again, Dallas. I mean, how can I take anything away from Dallas? It's really hard to pick an NFC team. AFC-wise, I don't know. It's the baton gets passed every single week. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'll put it on you. You tell me who your AFC and NFC teams are, and I will tell you whether or not I agree.
Bills and Rams, and I may have said Titans before based on how they've played here, you know, including beating the Bills. But I agree with you. NFC's wild, and all those teams you mentioned, I could see any of them. I mean, I don't think you even mentioned the Bucks, but that goes without saying, right? But I think the Bills are the Bill. I mean, I think that they've, you know, for the most part, been the most reliable team now that Tennessee doesn't have Henry.
See, so the Bills, here's what I like about the Bills. They are the most balanced when you consider, I think defensively, they're built for the long run defensively. I don't know if they're still number one DVOA in the NFL, but I mean, they were there for a long time. You know what they are defensively. Offensively, with Josh Allen and what's there, they have the ability to be an explosive offense. Here's the thing, though, about that offense that makes me a little bit nervous. I don't think there's great depth there. So if there's an injury, like, you know, the tight end position, the wide receiver position, I mean, even at running back is kind of iffy, you know, in terms of can they sustain any kind of an injury down the stretch and not have that affect that offense. Now, I'll say this, like Josh Allen, if he builds into the stretch run, sort of like he did last year, they're going to be really hard to beat. But again, the AFC, very similar to the NFC in the respect that, you know, every single week we like a team and something happens. You know, there was a minute there, we were talking about the Chargers. We're like, man, that team looks like, well, maybe this is a Chargers. The yeah. Chargers own the AFC this year. And then, you know, for a minute, the Raiders looked good. And for a minute, like it's from week one, I feel like every single week we've sort of handed the baton to someone else in the AFC where we waited for the Chiefs to get themselves together. Well, the Chiefs, I think, they are what they are. They're flawed, and that's going to open the window for pretty much anybody else. You know, Cleveland looked great to me for a while, but now with all the injuries stacking up, there's no way I can look at Cleveland and go, yeah, I really feel confident in them getting it back together down the stretch. I mean, Baltimore, I like Baltimore a lot. Like, there's a lot to like there, but this is kind of why I feel like the deadline does matter this year, because I do feel like teams, you know, can add depth. It's just, are they willing to part with, you know, a pick and some cap space that they'd like to roll into next season? And that's what's kind of depressing a little bit of the market. Although, let's be real, Von Miller and Ingram being moved, it's already kind of a pretty active deadline. Normally we sit here and we're waiting. We're like, okay, what's going to happen? And nothing happens.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. Charles, great stuff as always. Look forward to talking to you next week, and make sure you have your best team in the NFC and AFC prepared for Joe's question next week.
I'll tell you what, after the deadline, I will be ready for you, but I want go tell Mike Vrabel, I said, call the Broncos, call George Payton, and say, we want Melvin Gordon. Let's get this done.
Right? We will do that. Charles, appreciate you, my man.
All right, later, guys.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back, react to what Charles had to say there, look ahead at the NFL trade deadline coming up next. Also got some tickets to give away on the other side as well. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We've got some tickets to give away to see Nashville SC take on New York at Nissan Stadium coming up this Sunday. Be caller number 3. At 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Nashville SC take on New York coming up at Nissan Stadium this Sunday. So hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, some moves already being made at the deadline in the NFL. We talked about it with Charles Robinson in the last segment. Melvin Ingram on his way from the Pittsburgh Steelers to the Kansas City Chiefs. I found it interesting what Charles said about the market for wide receivers. You brought up Josh Reynolds and maybe what his availability and market could look like out there in the NFL. Lots of wide receivers that are potentially on the trading block, and Charles even went as far to say is not even sure that there's going to be a market for Odell Beckham Jr. out there at the deadline today. What do you make of what Charles had to say about the deadline, specifically at the wide receiver position?
Well, I guess if you're a Titans fan who thinks they should add one, that's good news. But I don't think that that's any kind of a, you know, a serious thing. I don't buy that at all. But yeah, it's unlike, I can't think of a team that would be like, oh, boom, Josh Reynolds, absolutely, that makes all the difference. I have been surprised by Josh Reynolds here not being able to make more of an impact. I still think that he has ability and has something to offer, but it doesn't sound good in terms of being able to deal him. And then, you know, Rashawn Evans, I mean, how much interest would there be in a Rashawn Evans? You know, he's one of those guys who, I don't think he's been like bad for the Titans this year. He's had some good moments. He's got ability. How many teams are like, that's the piece, you know, but I don't know if you're rostering him to the point where, I mean, they're just as a depth add, you know, would he make sense? But, you know, even although he's on his first deal, he's still a first round pick. So he's still more of a cap hit than a lot of guys because of that, you know? So you also have to take that into account. And as Charles is talking about the Broncos, makes me think, gosh, you know, it's true. Like, they're clearly – it's fire sale time there. You know, like, I don't anticipate that, like, a Melvin Gordon thing would happen now. I mean, to me, if they had another back, it would probably be, I guess, a lesser back. But that's an intriguing name to me, Melvin Gordon. But I've always been a Melvin Gordon fan in terms of his ability.
You know, trading all their pieces away – not going to be very much on the table for Aaron Rodgers there next year as quarterback.
Well, but they're going to get all these picks, make amazing picks, and he's going to be very excited with all the youth around him.
Yes.
And take the young Broncos all the way to the
Super Bowl. That's right. That's what excites Aaron Rodgers, is a bunch of young guys out there.
And he'll be Aaron Rodgers will be making all the picks.
Yeah.
Exactly. They've promised him that he gets to do the drafting.
That's right. Just taking it one step further in there. It is going to be an interesting day, as Charles pointed out. It's kind of an active NFL trade deadline already. We're not even close to the 3 p.m. deadline yet, Rex Road. Maybe the deadline in the NFL is spicing up a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's already a great year, the NFL trading deadline. And I'm sure there's going to be at least a couple more things that happen today. So the fact that teams do anything on around this when they never used to at all, good for us. Good for all of us.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Preds TV analyst, former Preds goaltender Chris Mason. The Preds in action tonight. They begin the first game of their Western Canadian road trip, taking on the red-hot Calgary Flames. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Predators back in action tonight, taking on the red-hot Calgary Flames. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend, Preds TV analyst, Chris Mason. See, Mace? What's going on, brother? How are we doing?
What's up, everybody? I just want to know, how did you guys get Gary Bettman to do the radio call sign there?
We know people in high places, see, Mace.
Oh, boy, that is high. That's as high as they get.
That's right, the commish on the program. So, yeah. C-Mace, obviously the start of a long, grinding road trip tonight for the Predators. As a player, when you know you're heading into a trip like this that's going to be very long, lots of really good teams on this road trip as well that you're playing against. How do you kind of approach that from a mentality standpoint, the first long road trip of the season?
You know, I don't know. I think, as a team, you kind of might be excited to get out, although you like to obviously playing at home. I think at the beginning of the season, you want to start banking some road games. So it's kind of exciting for, everyone to get out and spend some time together. At least, you know, you hit Western Canada when it's, just the start of November, so you're not here in January or February where it's freezing cold. So
yep.
That helps too. And, you bang out the games pretty quick, start with a back-to-back and then three and four nights. So again, I think from a team standpoint, it's nice to get out and travel a bit. And although it is a long trip, and I know from my first, trip last week, it took a lot out of me. I mean, the guys were saying too, because, last season they'd go somewhere and they would stay there for 4 days and, just unpack their suitcase. And, now we're here, play tonight in Calgary, leave right after the game to Edmonton. After the game in Edmonton, fly to Vancouver, day off there, Vancouver, then fly all the way to Chicago. So putting on a lot of miles. So the guys are going to have to get used to that kind of wear and tear as well.
Well, and you better get in bag chucking shape here, C-Mace. Yep. I mean,
ever? I don't know. I'm getting old, guys.
We can relate. Well, I can relate. So, C-Mace, what has gotten better? What are you most encouraged by that you've seen in the last few games as this team has started to turn the results around? And what are you looking for in terms of maybe one element of this team's game that you'd like to see uptick here on this trip?
I think you're starting to get more contributions from each line. I think at the beginning of the year, not a lot of guys were scoring. I thought, you know, if you want to look at Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg, I thought they're playing well. You know, they weren't getting, you know, pucks to fall or whatever you want to talk, you know, however you want to say it, but they stuck with it. I think I like that the way the team does stick with it, that the way that they play. I think now we all know what kind of team they are, how they have to play to be successful. What I like as well is I think the defensemen are starting to chip in offensively. They're playing well defensively. I think that the third pair right now with Orvietsky and Benning has been serviceable and been, you know, very good.
Yep.
You know, and that helps them out a lot. I think Fabro and Carrier have been excellent, which, you know, a lot of questions I think that we all had at the beginning of the season are starting to kind of be answered. You know, the herd line, I think obviously you have a player like Tanner Jeannot right now playing the way he is, and he looks like he's kind of that multidimensional player, which is rare to find in the league. And they're going to play one tonight, and Matthew Tkachuk and a former one in Milan Lucic. So it's going to be a rough game tonight. But I really like the identity of this team, and if I was going to look for something that I'd like to see better is maybe a little more consistency in the special teams. Because at times, and I know you know, it goes in waves, but, you know, it's still early, but I've seen a lot of up and down from both special teams where they look really good and then they get ice cold. So, and we're not that young into a season. So I'd like to see a little more consistency there.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And C-Mace, let's kind of dig a little bit deeper on Tanner Jeannot. He leads the team in goals right now with 4. We know the physical presence that he brings to the table. Just ask Drew Doughty if you don't know the physical presence that he brings to the table. And you talked about being one of those power forwards that's hard to find. What is the upside to Tanner Jeannot? He sits here 4 goals already in 8 games. What sort of player offensively do you think Tanner Jeannot could be?
Well, from what I've seen, like, even if you look at his shot opportunities, he's leading the team in, before last game anyway, in high dangerous scoring chances. He's in the top 4 or 5 in shots on goal, and this is with limited ice time. There's no power play time in there. You know, he's not playing top 2 line minutes, although you can make the argument that he should be. So I don't think we've seen the best of Tanner Jeannot right now. You know, he's shown the ability to score in the minors, which is always a good sign, and it doesn't always translate to the National Hockey League, but it looks so far that he's finding no problem getting scoring chances and getting those opportunities and getting pucks to go in the net. So I think Tanner Jeannot's got a high upside, and this is a player, you know, you look at Matthew Tkachuk, it's early, you know, I know that in his career, but that's a comparison you can kind of look at. They do the physicality thing a little, you know, 2 different ways, but to bring that element to, and score the way he does and the finesse that he has and the speed, and he creates a lot of space for himself by those hits that we were talking about there with Drew Doughty. So he looks great.
Well, and I guess, you know, to me, is it fair to say that somewhere along the way, people just missed on him? I mean, I guess like even when he came up last year, you know, the expectations were, you know, low. And like you said, he has scored some of the minors, but there wasn't really this thought that he could have this kind of ascent. I mean, I know you see that sometimes in the NFL and the NHL, but this is a pretty rare case, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, whether it's here to stay or not, I mean, the way he plays the game, he's a smart player. He plays the game the right way. And when you get somebody like that who seems to be a good athlete and he's a good kid and, you know, they continue to work, and that's, you know, by everything I've heard from that's coming out of the dressing room and the coaches, he's an unbelievable teammate and a worker and those types of things. So, you know, you can always continue to get better. And as you said, Joe, yeah, it's hard to do. And it is kind of rare where, you know, guys come out of nowhere and they, you know, they're this type of player, but when you're as strong as he is in the game today, there's not many guys like you anymore. You know, it used to be, we had a bunch of those guys on every team, but now it's rare to find a guy who can skate and be as physical as Tanner Jeannot. And then, you know, have some skill. So you're starting kind of to see what those players can do. If they have some skill, they get themselves some more time. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, so far, so good. And I think last year and from everything that, you know, Scott Nickel, who's the assistant GM now for the Preds, who's Milwaukee's GM, they were raving about Tanner Jeannot and his development. So, you know, it's like you get the best coaches that they get to, or the best artists getting to mold some clay. It looks like a big blob of nothing, and all of a sudden it's, you know, it's a beautiful coffee mug that you guys are drinking out of right now.
Very nice.
I will be soon.
Very nicely done. C-Mace, last thing for you here. Eli Tolvanen has one goal in eight games. It was the first goal of the season for the Predators and has been held off of the score sheet since then. What's your concern level at this point with Eli Tolvanen? What have you seen from him in his overall game?
You know what? I think I'm not concerned in his overall game in terms of, you know, the defensive side of things, but, you know, you get Eli Tolvanen with a shot like that, you want the kid to score. I feel like he's getting the shots. On goal, he's one. I don't know if he's still leading the team, but he's up there. But I just, there's just a little jam or something missing. I feel like he's kind of turning away from checks sometimes and getting the spots a little late. He works hard and he battles when he gets into the physical battle, but I just feel like he's just a half second too late, maybe with a lot of his game right now. You know, the physicality side of it that he showed a lot surprisingly last year. I thought he was very effective when he played that way, and then maybe a shooting. He's just a hair off. But I'm starting to get a little concerned about him. But again, you know, he's still a young player, and you know, when the league gets a book on you, it gets harder, and you have to make adjustments, and you have to change your game a little bit, and you have to, you know, take the extra time to prepare and all those different types of things to make sure you're ready, because it does get harder. And now, you know, he's in a situation where the other team looks at the Preds roster and like, hey, this kid can shoot, you know, make sure, don't take away all his time and space. You're going to be on him. So they know when he's out there. So it becomes a little more difficult. So he's going to have to step it up a little bit.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Tuesday at 9:30. C Mace, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Absolutely. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click. Guess the goal scorer. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025 with your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Predators as they take on the Calgary Flames tonight. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your participation. Be the first caller, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, for your opportunity to guess the goal scorer for the Predators as they take on the Calgary Flames tonight, beginning the first of a long road trip that happens typically every November in a Predator season with the CMA trip, as it has been termed over the years. So that begins tonight for the Predators as they take on the Flames. With that in mind, as we look at the order of things, believe it or not, Joe Rexrode, I am first in the competition today, and you are last. Your reaction?
Yeah, it's the usual. It's fine. I'm used to it.
Well, I said that first. We've got a caller that is now called in on the line, so we'll let Michelle. Well, the caller just left, so I will go
they
first.
Hung up.
That's cool. I'm going off the board first. You're going to look at me like I've got three heads, but that's okay. This player, I think, has been playing really well. I think he's generated some chances and has not even scored a goal so far yet this season. Give me Yakov Trenin. Trenin, first pick off the board. I think this is going to be a physical-type game. I think you're going to see on the road the Predators use his line a lot. And I think tonight, Yakov Trenin finds the back of the net. So I will use my first pick and go Yakov Trenin. Joe, I'm not sure that Trenin has ever even been selected in the competition before, much less selected with the first pick, but I'm going with Trenin today.
I think he was picked once or twice last year. I could be wrong, but I think so. But okay. That is a very – I like that. Either way, whether I'm right or wrong, I like the pick that is off the board, but he is due. You know, I almost feel like maybe Jeannot is due to regress a little bit.
Yeah, that's why I didn't go that way.
And Trenin is due to regress or – progress? I don't know. Nice. Go the other way and score. So I like that.
All right, so Yakov Trenin is off the board. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Scott from Bellbuckle. So, Scott, Trenin is off the board. Your selection for your goal scorer tonight for the Predators against Calgary.
Alrighty. I think I'm going to go with a little off the board and go Luke Cunnin.
Luke Cunnin. I thought about him as well. Scott, we appreciate you taking time to call in.
All right. Thank you.
So far, Rex Road, the first two selections are players who have not yet scored a goal. So a different approach being taken in this competition. Michelle, you are up next. Your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Do I have any points yet?
You do not.
All right. Sick. Okay. I'm going to choose Ryan Johansson.
Ryan, she said sick. All right.
Hey, I'm going with him every time. And I really thought he scored the other day when we were there. But not quite. But he will. In Calgary, I have a feeling. Joey, please.
There you go. So, Joe Rexroad, you have a unique opportunity on the table for you that we've not had before with the fourth selection. Are you going to take it? Are you going to go where I think you're going to go? The final selection in today's edition of Preds Pick to Click.
Yes, Matt Benning. No, Philip Forsberg. Thank you.
Philip Forsberg selected with the fourth pick. That is definitely the
Big
farthest
surprise
he's ever made it, right? Definitely.
I was all set to take Elie Tolvanen because I think that he's due. But yes, thank you. I'll take Forsberg.
So Forsberg selected by Joe Rexroad. The competition is such. The listeners with one, Robbie with one, Joe with one, Michelle not on the board as of yet, but as Michelle pointed out, very early into the season. Still
it's
a lot of
early
hockey to be played.
I'm winning in every other event we have.
Wow.
I also would just like to point out that I said Kevin Byard would have an interception to win the Colts game, and that indeed did happen.
Yeah, that. So
well,
that
he didn't win it. Randy Bullock
shots,
did.
Right?
But.
Well, technically, yes, but you know what I mean.
Don't be taking credit from Randy Bullock in front of me, my favorite Titan of all time.
We love Randy.
That is a heck of a called shot, though.
That is a heck of a called
shot.
Very well done by you.
Thank you. Thank you very
much. By the way, in Pixian Pick'em, I think I went 1-5. So
I was 2-4. So yeah, it's not.
5-1.
Didn't go well.
Holy cow.
So that's over.
We should just split the competition now. Yes. We should just have you and I go against each other and Michelle put her in the
I'm majors. 35-12, I think.
Victory parade. I love how she's got all of her stats prepared too. He's like, I'm 35-12. Just so you guys know.
This has a nice ring
ready
to it.
Ready to go. Ready to go.
All right, Joe Rexroad, by the time we're on the air tomorrow, the NFL trade deadline will have come and gone. What are your expectations? How surprised will you be if the Titans don't make a move today? What do you think the reaction of the Titan fan will be if they don't make a move today?
I think there's a lot of fans and a lot of trading deadlines who really want to see something done. I expect the Titans to not do anything. I expect ultimately that there won't be another move. But certainly won't be surprised if there is one. I've got to think that there every phone call is being made here today. It's just a matter of can you actually find the right deal. Get someone who's worth trading anything for and then not have to trade like valuable draft capital. I mean, I have my doubts, you know, but we'll see. I mean, I think they're one of those teams that should be out there looking. There are some teams now that are clearly selling, and maybe they can make something work. If it's anything but a running back, I'd be surprised. I could buy a tight end. I don't buy that they're looking to trade for a receiver whatsoever. Like, I put that at, like, less than 1%. I mean, I think it's a running back or a tight end maybe, but probably a running back if they do anything.
Really interested to see what happens with the Titans. Interested in, like, the arms race in the NFC as well. The Rams making moves. We'll see how the other contenders follow that up. I mean, Tampa Bay, I don't really know that they need to make moves. They just need to get some guys healthier. You've got, obviously, the Packers. They just lost Tonyan for the year. So my guess is they're probably making some calls on some tight ends today. I wouldn't be shocked to see Evan Engram end up in Green Bay from the Giants. So we'll see what happens on that front. But maybe it's just going to be the Adrian Peterson show at running back for the Titans. Interested to see how that goes.
Well, Peterson, McNichols, maybe Sargent, maybe Blasingame. I feel like they need another name there. And I don't know how much you can really count on Adrian Peterson to give you. But I will say that if the Titans offensive line is at peak performance and health, and Tannehill is at his best, and Julio Jones can play, and Todd Downing has good game plans, then whoever's at running back is going to be set up to have some success. And this can still be a balanced, productive offense. It's a lot of ifs, probably the biggest if of those being Julio Jones. I mean, he's critical. And I will say this on the receiver front, if you don't feel good about him, if you're the Titans moving forward, being consistently on the field, then maybe you do look at receiver a little bit more.
Two things very quickly. Number one, Jeremy McNichols getting a lot of love on Good Morning Football this morning as a potential fantasy waiver wire pickup, which is good to see. We love McWeapon here in this town. Number two, very quickly, do you think Jeremy McNichols gives up number 28 to Adrian Peterson? Yes or no?
Oh, wow. Hadn't thought about that. I'll say yes.
I'll say yeah, probably. We'll see what
happens. You got to do it, right?
That's right. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back to discuss all things NFL trade deadline tomorrow, the Preds game tonight as well. So lots on the table coming up tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.